Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
So that was an action-packed moment or two for the first hour, Jeremy Shaw. Not sure what we take from that, other than clearly we've got a fired up Helio Castro Neves and he'll be fighting his way back. But Renger van der Zander has just put in a decent lap in traffic and stretches his lead to 3.1 seconds. And the Cadillacs, who weren't too happy with the balance of performance they'd been dealt earlier in the week, at the moment showing very well indeed in first, third and fourth.
To be honest, they never are happy with the balance.
Nobody's happy. If everybody's complaining, then Simon and Jeff and the rest of the technical team have done that job perfectly. Exactly, and I say that with much respect to those guys.
I do, but the Cadillac team seems to make a bigger hand of it than most of the other teams. But anyhow, they dominated this Moto Petit Le Mans 1 year ago. This time they're having a bit of a harder battle of it, but they're certainly running very, very well at the moment. All three Cadillacs, or there's three of the remaining four Cadillacs, are right there in the thick of things at the front of the field. So, there's still a long, long way to go. Anything can happen, certainly, but Renger van der Zander is doing a super job out front there. And this Konica Minolta team, they kind of specialise in the longer races. They've won the Rolex 24 a couple of times the last couple of years, and they're a team that really relishes in the long distance endurance races. They get the strategies right. They have good pace, good consistent pace, and that's what it takes to win this race, even at 6 hours rather than 10.
Tristan Nunes, we may have found the answer. And it's not mechanical. As such, Shea Adam has been in touch with the team and has this VP Racing update.
Thank you, Olivier Plot, for checking your phone. Yes, it is nothing to do with the new engine. They're very happy with it, watching the data and all that. They didn't take tires on the last pit stop, which is part of the reason that Tristan Nunez is struggling, because every other DPI car that came into the pit lane, they did.
There is a tire off a moment or two for Ian James in the 23 Heart of Racing team Aston Martin, but he's back on through the S's. There is a tyre allocation share for this race weekend.
Correct, which is yesterday and today. Between the two, 14 sets of tyres for DPI, LMP2 and GTLM, 9 for GTD, which means that tyres really shouldn't be a concern in terms of allotment.
So they must have elected not to take tyres for that track position that we were talking about in the Porsche countdown to green, Jeremy?
You certainly used at least one fresh set in qualifying that have got through a couple of sets earlier on. They're making sure they've got fresh tyres at the end of the race. And here's number 77 car with the tail off. So, yeah, thanks, Olivier.
That looked like damage though, Jeremy. I think there's been a coming together there. There was damage on the left rear and the Corvette's got damage at the back on the left as well. So that may have been something entirely different. And is that a left rear puncture on Corvette number 4? This is drama again for Tom Milner, who was very handily leading the race. It is indeed the car sitting very low on the left rear and trailing the under tray at the back, and there was damage to the back. I'm certain there was damage to the back of the rear clip on the 77 Mazda as well. Now, into the pit lane for Tom Milner. Now, this is interesting, Shea, because, he's just dropped the carcass off right at the top of the hill, but it's not, sort of on the run into the pit lane. Shea, half of the GT Le Mans runners took new tyres before the race.
Not either of the Corvettes, though. So for the 4 Corvette and for Tommy Milner, that left rear has had a lot of abuse in terms of the time that it's been out there. But keep in mind, they did do pit stops. They did come in for the full course caution. As diving into the pits comes the number 10. That's the Konica Minolta Cadillac. It's Renger van der Zander bringing the car in. But Tommy Milner coming in from the lead. Yes, exactly. He was out there for about 51 minutes on that tire, which is the normal stint length time. So that's not really long enough for us to be worried. He gets out of the car, handing over to Oliver Gavin. They're doing four new Michelin and refueling during this opportunity. This might trigger a slew of pit stops, though, because we are getting close to a window. Oliver Jarvis has taken the 77 Mazda back out. That was damaged to the left rear. Well spotted, John. So that car has gone out to continue around as Ranger is out of the 10 as well. That is now being taken over by Ryan Briscoe. These two drivers, it's very simple for them, John. They lead the championship and they lead the Michelin Endurance Cup. So they're going for every single point they can get today.
Yeah, I wonder if they dived in because they were wondering if they were going to get a full course yellow for that issue. And we have indeed got a full course yellow. So that, Jeremy, is, I mean, that's great work from Konica Minolta, from Wayne Taylor and from Renger van der Zander. They'll have been watching the pictures. They'll have seen what was happening and that's given them a quick pit stop there.
Yeah, you're crucial, I think, there for that team. And number 11 car, I think also the GRT Grasser Racing team, I think that maybe was in right before we had this full course caution. So look, the leaders, the overall leaders of DPI, they were due for a pit stop any second there. I think the Wayne Taylor guys, we just talked about it, didn't we, how they call the strategy in these long distance races, get him in now, get that stop made. He is going to be back in the lead when everybody else has to make their pit stop under the full course caution. Great call by Wayne Taylor Racing and the Konica Minolta team.
It is confirmed from race control. Debris at turn. Well, that's debris at turn 10. I would have sort of said that was. Is that turn 10 or is that turn 11 at the top of the hill? I'd say that was turn 11, but never mind. It is certainly partially for that tyre. If there's anything else further, the remnants of that tyre. What we still haven't had yet is an explanation about whether that was contact between those two cars that we saw with damage, the number 77 Multimatic DPI and the number 4 Corvette. But there was definitely damage on the rear clip of that car, the IMSA EMR Chevrolet safety truck, doing great job. Hello to all of our safety workers who I know are tuned in around the circuit. They listen to Race Control and to 98.1 FM as well around the track, around the world on RS2. That's the home of IMSA Radio 24/7, 365 IMSA content as part of the Radio Show Limited network of sound and vision channels. Ranger van der Zander then out of the number 10. And that car, having rejoined for Ryan Briscoe, stayed on the lead lap, of course, and now with the full course caution and the reappearance of the Corvette safety car, they will cycle back to the lead. So what have we got? Is this our third full course yellow? Yes.
Including the one at the start. Yes, it is.
Yes. Yeah, we did get a part of a lap of green, so I think, I think that's fine. I'm calling this three.
10 yards, yeah, absolutely. No, actually, they didn't throw the yellow until most of the way around that first lap, in actual fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, right, John.
So, Dane Cameron leading in DPI for the moment, at least, behind the safety car with Felipe Nasser in second and Sebastian Bourdais in third. So Acura Cadillac Mazda, the 55 of Harry Tinknell, handily closing up. In the classes, Patrick Kelly, of course, leading LMP2. Nick Tandy's back at the front of GT Le Mans, and Madison Snow for Paul Miller Racing.
And the number 52 car, by the way, the Patrick Kelly in that LMP2 leading car, he was lapped just before the full course caution came out. Not this particularly significant, but he is a lap down. And behind him on the racetrack are Oliver Jarvis, who has taken over from Tristan Nunez in number 77 car during that we think unscheduled stop right before. And so that car also is a lap down, as of course is Elio Castroneves in the number 7 car.
Now, the leaders, of course, all stopped on that previous safety car, so they've done a decent run, Jeremy. 32 laps for most of the leading cars, so that's well in the window, even if the Konica Minolta car hadn't stopped. So they will take the pit stop here, Castro Neves, will he stay out and trying to get his lap back? Might do.
No, because he's going to need a stop in any case. He was last in, he's pitted with everybody else, so no, he needs a pit stop.
Right, okie dokie. Pits, I think, will be open this time around. Yes, they are. The pass around has been enacted where the cars not in the lead class that have just been passed by the leader and so are effectively their disadvantage, they're allowed to go back round and get back onto the end of the lap so they don't lose the end of the crocodile, so they don't lose a lap to their own class leader. So let's go to Shea Adam, and we expect all of the prototypes to come in, and indeed that is happening. Shea, go ahead.
They all come down the hill, nicely line astern. I'm sure everybody is hyper aware of that pit lane speed limiter, the sign, and getting their finger on the button a little bit earlier than normal, since penalties have already been given out before cars coming in the pit lane line astern. Dane Cameron in the number 6. We've got the Whelan Engineering car. That's Felipe Nasser this time, because all three of their drivers named Felipe. Sebastian Bourdais in the number 5, and Harry Tinknell in the 55. Let's start with the 6, since that one's the first one there. Juan Pablo Montoya getting into this car. Fuel and tires for the number 6 Acura Team Penske. It will be a Philippe driving the 31 Whelan Engineering Cadillac. The question is just which one when it leaves the pit lane. Joao Barbosa is getting into the number 5 Mustang sampling Cadillac. The tire change is done for the 31, just waiting on the fuel for that car now. And also for the 55 Mazda, we did have a driver change for the sister car, the 77. So I would expect it to be Jonathan Balmerito taking over for Harry Tinknell in the red Mazda. But we have to wait. First car back and rolling is Juan Pablo Montoya. Second car is the 31 Cadillac. The third car is the Mazda. And then the 5 Cadillac. So the 5 Cadillac actually lost one position. It's Ryan Hunter-Reay, by the way, in the 55 Mazda. And it is still Nasser behind the wheel of the 31.
And let me just say that the number 10 car, of course, didn't pit, because that had just pit a while ago. Number 7 team also is elected not to make a pit stop now, nor the number 77, of course. Number 77, that had stopped right before the caution period. The number 7 car, however, was they've elected to stay out to get back on the lead lap, and then probably, I would expect, right before we go back to green, that will be in the pits again to top off with fuel. So it's always a bit of a gamble when you do that, but they should be okay to get back onto the lead lap. And that will bring, I think, all of the prototype cars back onto the same lap.
Yeah, it was worth a shot, wasn't it? Absolutely, Jeremy, as you say. It'll depend just how quickly we go back to green. This time around, it will be the GTs that come into the pit lane.
It can be a busy place.
And the problem, I mean, there is a problem for Elio in that he is embroiled in the GTs. He's pulled out of line, not because he's going to go past any of them. That wouldn't be allowed. But he doesn't want to be in the way. He wants to get the best run possible when the cars around him pull into the pit lane, because he wants to skedaddle up the road and get round onto the back of the prototype line. So all of the GTs now in, and Shea will take a look at the pit stops. GT Le Mans coming in first.
And there's a lot of them, which is always nice.
All of
We've
them.
Got the, all of them. Not the four. Oh, yeah, the four did come back in. It shouldn't be any long stop of the four. All right, 48 is in the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. That's Madison Snow out. And it should be Brian Sellers getting in if their rotation stays true. But, hey, the playbook gets thrown out the window as soon as everything goes green. Nick Tandy is out of the 911 Porsche, finally handing over to his French co-driver, which is not anything new, but it is Fred McAvecky, which is new for this year. 25 BMW also in the pit lane. That was Connor DeFilippi bringing it in. Hopefully they'll put a new right side door on that car and give Bruno Spengler a better door mirror and possibility to see out the other side. Should be Jordan Taylor in the number 3, slotting back in second position. And no, it's still Garcia. Oh my goodness. It's John Edwards in the 24 BMW now, and the 912 Porsche was the last one. It's Bamber in that car now. That's being piled up Bambi behind the wheel. Ole Gavin taking back out the number four. No changes there. Fuel and tires for pretty much everybody except the four, which just did take new tires. It is Brian Sellers, by the way, in the 48 Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. Shinny Bashini staying for another stint behind the 86 Meyershank Racing Acura. Now, that's a car that is looking for championship points this weekend after coming back in and coming in with a tie for one of the Lexuses. Frank Montecalvo, another stint for him in the 12 Lexus. And it's Ryan Hardwick, who, by the way, took over the last time around in pit stops for the Wright Motorsport Porsche. He's going again, but this time a great stop by those boys and girls puts him up into fourth.
Thank you, Shay, for that VP Racing Fuels pit lane update. That's Full Course Yellow coming at a lovely time then for the GTD cars that didn't make their pit stop. Did they manage to get to that? I think they did, didn't they? Certainly the two GTD cars, Cooper McNeil's now in the Scuderia Corsa, they've only made one stop, so that should have helped them, but they've seemed to have dropped all the way down, so they mustn't have had a decent time in the pit lane.
Which car?
63, the WeatherTech.
63, everybody pitted then, and the only car that was really off strategy was number 11 car, which came in right before the caution period. Actually went a lap down. He'll now get his lap back when everybody else comes into the pits, but must have been a long stop, I think, for the number 11
yes,
car.
Yes, and it must have been a long stop for the 63, because they came in out, they were in line having not stopped. They were, third or fourth, and they've gone back out 11th.
Well, because they needed a lot more fuel, of course, than...
Yes, fair point. Yeah, true enough. They must have been pretty much on fumes, actually.
Yes.
Belt troubles with the number 11, I'm hearing, when they came in for Robbie Highstand Richard Highstand. I've got me Robbies and me Richards all. Ricky Bobby Highstand Foley. We'll just lump them all together today. Sorry, guys. Briscoe then, out front. We'll be going back to green shortly because we are doing the class bit. Elio's in the pit lane to get his service, having got back onto the tail end of the lead overall lap. In that DPI category, it's Ryan Briscoe leading from Juan Montoya, from Felipe Nasr, and Ryan Hunter-Reay, and Joao Barbosa and Ollie Jarvis on a new set of Michelin tyres. And of course, they're pretty much lying astern behind the Corvette safety car. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, just to say for non-regulars in this sport, the reason number 7 car is coming in now, it got back on the lead lap because it didn't make a pit stop when everybody else did. It was at the back of the pack. It was able to kind of run around to catch up with the field. Then it's now making its pit stop, and as long as it's a good pit stop, they should be able to get back out on track, still on back on the lead lap with everybody else, and back on strategy with everybody else. So good call there by Acura Team Penske.
It's Jeremy Shaw. He is in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre with me, John Hindorf, and our VP Racing Fuels pit lane reporter is Shay Adam. In GT Le Mans, Fred McAvecky aboard the 911 that he shares with Nick Tandy. Antonio Garcia has stayed behind the wheel of the number 3 Corvette that he started. He's in second. Then the two BMWs both changed drivers. It's Bruno Spengler in the 25, John Edwards in the 24. Earl Bamber gets his first look at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta as we go back green. And Ollie Gavin is in the Corvette number 4. Which has dropped off the lead lap, hasn't it, that car? Yes, it has, after its wars. So waiting to see that car and see if it can make up a little bit of time. Let's have a quick update on Ollie Gavin as we get back to racing and before the leaders get into traffic. Shay Adam, is this VP Racing Fuel pit update?
Is that it didn't do any damage, that puncture that they had that resulted in the carcass coming off and causing the Full Course Yellow. The other good news, sort of, it wasn't contact induced, so it was just an issue with the tire.
All right. Okay. Well, is that good news? That's the question.
And it was a question mark.
Yes, yeah, I got that. Very good. So out front then, it is the Ryan Briscoe driven Cadillac, and he's pulled about 8/10 of a second away from Juan Montoya. The man on the move at the moment with clear track ahead of him is Ricky Taylor, who's taken over from Helio Castro Neves, but he is on the tail end of the lead lap. He's got a wee while to go before he catches up to the back of the field, and he's trying to make the best of that clean track that he's got and the clear air that he's got around him. Corvette number four, Ollie Gavin, has he just gone past his teammate?
Yes. To get back onto the lead lap.
Yes, that's my point.
The number four car is not leading the category, but it is now back on the lead lap.
Correct. Exactly the point I was asking. Thank you, Jeremy, for reading my mind. We have worked together for a little while, ladies and gentlemen. Shock horror. 4 hours and 40 minutes still to go. Plenty to happen. And remember, 3 hours, we've got points for the Michelin Endurance Cup. So expect to see some perhaps different strategies for teams for whom that is important. Porsche number 911. McAvecky under pressure from BMW going round the outside. John Edwards gets it done before they get to the braking area at turn 10. That was a heck of a slingshot. Makes me think that perhaps there was a little mistake from Mako coming out of turn 7 and he didn't get the drive he was expecting. Maybe got caught in some other traffic. Well, that was an exceptionally good move by John Edwards. So it's Corvette, BMW, BMW, Porsche, Porsche and Corvette. But Ollie Gavin, crucially, a few C8R's lengths ahead of his teammate now. So if we were to have another full course caution, he would get back on the lead lap. In the pit lane, Dylan McAvern for Turner Motorsport. Now, that I wasn't expecting for the 96 car. And he took one from Robbie Fawley on the same pit stop strategy as everyone else at the safety car. And that car is back in. Now, we did see that car taking a pretty hefty thump from the Misha Goikberg-driven Acura, which was looked at. No action taken. No further action required from race control. But that car's back in. Shea Adam will get us an update on that fairly shortly, I'm sure. The Turner guy's very good at passing the information along. 98.1 FM around Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Around the world on RS2, IMSA Radio, and of course on XM Sirius as well. Thank you to Sirius XM for loaning us their airwaves.
Number 911 Porsche. Do we see what happened there?
He's dropping back. Dropping back. He got absolutely scalped by John Edwards on the back straight last time around. I thought he just made a mistake out of turn seven, but he's lost 7/10 of a second. But John Edwards drove by him. I think he made a mistake somewhere coming out of seven. But he's lost a couple of places, hasn't he, since he took that car over?
Yeah, because I think wasn't he still leading after the pit stops? I'm pretty sure he was. I think he was leading at the restart, but all of a sudden now he's down to fourth place in GTLM.
It was a change of driver there.
Yeah, true. Mako taking over from Nick Tandy, of course, qualified the car on pole position. There's a good lap for our race leader, 10.24. For Brian Briscoe, that's just the fastest lap of that car's race so far, but he certainly isn't pulling away. Here he is going past the number 18 Iremos for LMP2 car, not for position, of course. But Pablo Montoya running nicely in the second position. The top, well, six cars pretty much nose to tail now. The only car that isn't is the number seven, but despite those two penalties early in the race, the number seven is back in the Taylor.
It's Jeremy Shaw with me, John Hinoff in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. I reckon, yeah, he did come out ahead, Jeremy, under that full course yellow, but he must have lost it almost immediately on the restart. I'm just doing a quick comparison with the Corvette numbers 3 and 4, and yeah, He had a slow lap just after the restart, and that's what cost him. So that has been the issue for McAvecky. Just waiting to see. Dylan McAvern hasn't come out of the pits yet, so that is clearly something more than trivial, I'm afraid, for Turner Motorsport and the M6 GT3. They've had a rich vein of form recently, Jeremy, and that looks like it's coming to an end here.
Yeah, that's certainly a shame for that team. They won very impressively last time out at VIR. That broke yet another record for Bill Oblin, his 61st victory in big-time American sports car racing. For good measure, he won the Michelin Pilot Challenge race as well for Turner Motorsport with Robbie Foley a couple of weeks ago at VIR.
Yep, swept the weekend, I suppose, you might say.
Yeah.
And in some style, Bill Power still turned up to 11 for Mr. Oberlin, one of the first people I met when I came over to the States in 98. Bill and his dad had been doing a... That must have been 99, actually. First year of the American Le Mans series, we've been doing a promotional event in San Francisco. And after Bill was part of it, no surprise there. Always makes himself available. Bill and his dad, who's a pretty accomplished motorsport photographer, actually. Spent some time with them in a restaurant, having a cup of coffee. And welcomed me into the American motorsport scene, took pity on the new British bloke and gave me some very important pointers, and have been, both of them, been lovely to me ever since. And that's not unique to me, Jeremy. That's just the sort of people the Oberlins are. And Bill, in or out of the car, certainly lovely. I wouldn't like to be wheel to wheel with them, if I'm honest, and racing for the win. Or any position, racing for 13th wouldn't make a blind bit of difference. But absolute gentlemen, the pair of the Oberlins out of the car. Lovely people.
Yeah.
Leaders working their way through traffic then, with Juan Montoya, Felipe Nasser, who's been in the Cadillac, the Whelen Cadillac, since the beginning of the race, as they work their way through GT Daytona traffic down towards turn 6. Not too far away is Ryan Hunter-Reay in the Multimatic number 55 Mazda, and not too far away from him is Ollie Jarvis, that 77, yeah. Now returned to health with the new rear end and a new set of Michelin tyres.
Yeah, you're right. As Shea told us during that last stint, we saw Tristan Nunez falling back in the number 77 car because they elected to keep, I think, another fresh set of tyres for the end of the race in case they needed it. So I think that was a smart move. That car running very well now. Great to see Ryan Hunter-Reay running as well. And Joao Barbosa's hanging on there in number 5 Cadillac as well. Meantime, Ricky Taylor is trying to make up ground. He's, of course, off strategy with everybody else. But last time around, he just turned the number 7 car's fastest lap of the race, a 10.0, which is a second and a half quicker than our race leader.
Shea Adam can give us a Turner Motorsport update in this pit report brought to you by VP Racing Fuels.
It's some kind of brake issue that they're trying to diagnose right now. That's why the car is in the pit lane. But Bill Oberlin actually didn't know that there was a problem with the car until Dylan McAvern walked back into the lounge when he was supposed to be in the car driving. So the crew...
Hang on. That means Bill Oberlin's not listening to 98.1 at the track or RS2 IMSA radio. I'm going to have a word with him, a stern word.
Yes, well... He's been out of the pit box right now because this isn't his turn to drive. He still has another stint. And given the social distancing regulations, it's safer if the third driver waits back in the truck. So I do give him a little bit of credit
all right. All right.
But still, the Turner Motorsports guys, they are not happy with the situation, obviously, because they are going for the overall championship. Bill and Robbie come into this race weekend on fifth place on 107 points. They're 8 behind the tied leaders, so this is a serious slap to their championship run.
Hello to Christina Nielsen, who is listening, following along closely at home. She's just tweeted at IMSA Radio, Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, the first race track she ever raced at in the States, and still she says her favourite place. Miss you, Christina. Hopefully get you back in a car soon. I did see you were having an outing in the Scandinavian Carrera Cup recently. I have to say I didn't see how you got on in that, so let us know. Also wish another one of our favourite drivers the very best in Catherine Legg, who I know will be tuned in somewhere. The rehabilitation from a broken leg sustained in testing at Paul Ricard for an LMP2 drive, including at Le Mans, hopefully going well for you, Kat. I know you'll be working hard. Best to you and the family, and hope to see both of those ladies back at a track soon. Very competitive drivers, both Christina Nielsen and Catherine Legg. Best to both. At IMSA Radio if you want to get in touch with us, like Christina, keeping that an eye on that in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. In about 4.5 hours time, we'll be looking through the comments for Michelin post-race tech. I always mean to mention it a couple of hours before the end, but something always happens, so I've written myself a note this week to mention it early on and then trying to keep remembering. Michelin post-race tech is the original audience-driven show, pun absolutely intended. Hashtag Michelin PRT for any questions, points arising or observations from what you've seen so far this weekend here at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. So hashtag Michelin PRT to at IMSA Radio, and we'll stay on the air on RS2 for half an hour, 40 minutes or so after the checkered flag, bring you some interviews, hopefully update you on the standings and answer some of your questions too. So Michelin post race tech, the checkered flag ends the race but only starts the conversation. Don't forget we've got more racing tomorrow as well. Briscoe slipped out to a second and a half at the front over Montoya, who's now got a second over Felipe Nasr. Cadillac number 10, Acura DPI number 6, showing the bright red number 2 in the LED panel on the side of the car. Then the red and white Felipe Nasr driven Wasteland Engineering Cadillac carving through the GT Le Mans traffic, which is led by Tonio Garcia, who's now got 4.5 seconds on Bruno Spengler, who's got just 0.7 seconds on his team RLL BMW teammate John Edwards, and in GTD Brian Sellers by nearly 4 seconds now over Shinji Mishimi. So that's Lamborghini from Acura, from Lexus 2 seconds further back, Frank Monte Calvo, and still 4.5 hours to go, Jeremy.
Yeah, indeed. And the two Mazdas just exchanged position. Oli Jarvis just got past Ryan Hunter-Reay on the last time around. It's going to be interesting to see whether he can make any inroads into the Cadillacs ahead of him. He's got Felipe Nasr about a second and a half ahead of him on the road, and we can see them here going through turn one. By the way, just a very quick note, you were talking about getting well soon. Young Braden Eves, open wheel driver, had a nasty crash at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway road course on Friday. He's driving now, he's last year's USF 2000 champion, moving on to the next rung of the Road to Indy ladder. He broke a couple of vertebrae in his back, but I know he sent me a text earlier on. He's tuned in to listen to us, so get well soon, Braden. Get yourself back at the wheel of a race car. Also, a quick note that the Simon Trummer, who is on a lap on his own now, it's unfortunate the number 52 team didn't keep him out there to try and stay on the lead lap. Well, no, he couldn't because, well, yes, he could, because he just fallen a lap down before the caution period, but they brought him in on schedule with everybody else, so it remains a lap down. But Simon Trummer, who turned some very, very quick lap times, a lap, I think, last time around, actually, turned his fastest lap of the race, 1:11.2. The race leader, by the way, the overall race leader last time around, was a 1:11.9. So it shows you while Simon Trummer is doing it at number 52, PR1, Masters and Motorsport LMP2 car.
And Shea had Adam can give us an update on another one of our wounded family members from IMSA. Devon Jones had a nasty accident last time out, Shea, and had to go to hospital and sustained actually some broken bones. But the news since VIR is pretty encouraging, according to his Instagram.
Yeah, he had a broken right arm, some broken vertebrae in his back, but he was able to actually walk up the stairs to his apartment in North Carolina a few days after the wreck. We do not yet know when Devin will be back driving the number 82 Bimmerworld BMW in the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series, but we do miss him, and we're glad to know that he is okay. James Clay actually said the other day that the reason they drive BMWs is because the cars are so safe, and the damage sustained to the car versus the damage sustained to the driver's area was minimal. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, and it just goes to prove that whatever class of racing and whatever class of racing cars, the safety is taken very seriously. You might think that a GT4 car is pretty much a entry-level car, but the safety is just the same. Problem for the number 57, Goitberg, is losing the cover at the front of the car. He's been off again, or at least he was stopped in sector one a few moments ago. He's had a really eventful, shall I say, opening to this race, and it is still Goitberg at the wheel. Mies has brought the car into the pit lane. The Acura looking less than the pristine way it was turned out by Mearshank Racing. I would suggest he's been across the grass in that car, and therefore the car's been bouncing around a bit. Into the pit lane for the 44, John Potter. Presumably, Shea, John Potter's done his time now for GRT Magnus Racing in the Lamborghini 44.
He's done for the day. If he doesn't want to get back in the car again, he doesn't have to. An hour and a half time met, actually an hour and 35 minutes for John Potter. So a good job done by him. That's Trent Hinman walking around the left side, the driver's side of the 57 Acura, still putting his gloves on as the defending 2019 GTD champion. He got that championship driving the 86, but he is the endurance driver for the 57. Looks like he's putting his gloves on, though, John, to take that car back to the garage area, because it's going to need a little bit more work than just a new hood.
Yeah, the hood is in pieces, and Misha Goitberg's been off again. That's at least the third incident for that car, and there's some damage sustained. There's radiators and all kinds of things towards the front of that car, and whilst that car is moving again, it will be going, I'm absolutely certain. Well, there you go, proving me wrong. They've gone out onto the circuit, and I'm very surprised that they've been allowed out in that, because that hood is not all in one piece. And it's effectively now an interference fit where the number is on the front, the 57, was pushed down by hand because it was sticking up, and it's been sort of lodged underneath the windscreen wiper. Now, they may just be having a look to see if that stays there. I didn't even see any tape put on that shear, but...
Nope, I didn't either.
It's a bodywork flapping there. The IMSA officials won't be happy with that.
That's a movable aerodynamic device.
How chaparral of them.
That is not acceptable. You can't see the Mobil 1 logo on the front of the car. You can't see any of the SiriusXM sponsorship. I mean, I'm sure that Mike Shank is not approving of the way that his car looks, but IMSA as a whole will not approve of that car. That will be seeing a black flag here shortly.
I'm sure.
Shocked that the IMSA officials even allowed it to leave the pit lane as it was. But I'm thinking that maybe they were going around to try and maybe not lose an additional lap to be able to then come in and do some reparations to it.
Yeah.
You don't want to be making extra pit stops. They'll have set that car out because they think it's fine. It achieves nothing if you're not under caution to send it out.
Yeah, that's true.
Repairs completed.
Yeah, but there's an awful lot of bodywork missing from the left-hand side and over the top of the wheel. The inner wheel arch is still there over the left front wheel, but there's definitely bodywork missing. There was a lot of grass came out the front of that car. I reckon that car has been off. We had a report of an incident at turn one involving the 57 car. I reckon he's gone on at turn one, bounced over the grass, and the shock of bouncing over the grass has dislodged something, or it's dug in a little bit. But the middle part of the front cover on that car was literally pushed back into place by hand and bent into place where the number panel is, and now it's starting to work loose from underneath just in front of the windscreen. And if that comes off, that is a big piece of carbon fibre. It's a quite intricate design on the front of that NSX. And I wonder, well, we'll leave it to the officials. They'll be keeping an eye on it, as we are. But that is clearly not the best stint of his driving career for Shinji Mishimi. Into the pit lane for the number 10.
Misha
Goikberg, excuse me. Yes, thank you. Into the pit lane for the fourth place DPI. And that
what
is...
You mean the race leader, John? This is race leader. Number 10.
Yes, he. By the time he came in, he was fourth place. Yes, it says
true.
On the
yes,
side.
How close it was, yeah.
That's how close it was. Now, this is interesting. He's only been out there for 23 laps.
I have your answer.
Shit, Adam is already on fire with that. And why is Ryan Briscoe back in the pit lane?
Because he's leading the Michelin Endurance Cup points, and they are back timing to the three-hour mark. So if they pit now and then they pit again in another 40 minutes, they're hoping they can be out front when the three-hour mark comes, and they can maintain their five-point lead over the number five car.
So that's the dodgy strategy, the strategy that's going to look odd and make us sort of scratch our head for a moment that we talked about in the keys to the race. Within this event, within this particular race on the track at the moment, there are four classes. They're all in their own race. And as far as the championship is concerned, there are two championships up for grabs here. Points for the overall championship, which will be awarded, surprisingly enough, at the end of the whole six-hour contest. But at 3 hours, as well as at 6 hours, there will be interim points awarded for the Michelin Endurance Cup, which is contested on the longer races of the season. So that would be the Rolex 24 at Daytona, the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring, which will be at the end of the year, the Motul Petit Le Mans in a few weeks' time, and this, what should have been the sale in 6 hours of the Glen, but of course now here as the TireRack.com Grand Prix at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. So that's what's happening. They are now looking to split the race into 2 3-hour events and then go back to looking at the end of the race for the other points in the other championship and of course the other endurance points. We flagged that up with Porsche Keys to the Race, and that's why there was that 23 lap stint for the number 10 of Ryan Briscoe. And that will play out come the 24 lap stint, excuse me. That will play out come the 3 hour mark. So let's see where they are. Now, that only works, Jeremy, if they're leading at the 3 hour mark because everybody else has just pitted. If they've got that one wrong, or of course, if there's an intervention of a safety car, then all bets could be off. And they've done that from a very long way out.
Yeah, they have done it from a long, long way out. Yeah, but you're better to make a strategic call like that early rather than late. They're going to stay on the lead lap, so you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained there. It is a full course caution. It will play out to their favour in any case. So, you know, I think that this is a really smart call by that number 10 team. They're looking at the big picture. The big picture is not only winning this race, it's also winning the overall championship and the Endurance Cup. And, you know, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah,
by the way, our fourth lead change in this race. Number six car, then back in the lead for the second time. Of course, that was the car that spun at the front, not even at the first corner, before the first corner, coming to the green flag at the start of the race. Number six car, now with Juan Pablo Montoya at the wheel, is leading by 3 seconds on this last lap.
Yeah, and just a quick update on Ricky Taylor, who took the car over from Elio Castro Neves after a stint to forget for Elio as well, with two trips to pit lane for penalties. And then he did manage to get the lap back, handed over to Ricky. Ricky now just 28 seconds away from the lead. Now, remember, it wasn't too long ago we were talking about that car being 51 seconds away. They've worked the safety car. They've got back onto the lead lap and now are gaining on the lead. It's 27 and a half seconds. And that's due to some very, very quick times by Ricky Taylor. A 1:10 3 last time around. That's 1, 2, 3 seconds ahead of some of the cars, faster than some of the cars ahead of it, Jeremy.
Yeah, that's right, John. And even after when we were back to green, remember that car made its pit stop after everybody else. It made it as we were getting ready to go back to green. So yeah. The number seven car came out for the restart well behind the rest of the pack. At that stage, the deficit to the leader was over 32 seconds, or to the next place car ahead of him, it was over 31 seconds. Now, the gap from number five, which was the car ahead of it then, to number seven is 18 seconds. So he's almost halved that deficit to the number five car of Joao Barbosa.
Yeah. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to work these long races and try to make them work for you. The advantage they had that all those trials and tribulations was fairly early on. Blue flags waving as again the leaders are working through lapped GT traffic with one of the Corvettes right in the mix there. And that is the problem for everybody. And three wide and a very close call indeed for Felipe Nasr in second place as he went past the black BMW, who was himself passing the number 14. That's the Marco de Caserta in Vassar Sullivan Lexus. He's been in that car right since the start, so that's a good long stint for him. Still Brian Sellers leading in that category. The Paul Miller Racing team looking for a good points haul today for the Michelin Endurance Cup.
Yep.
For that category in GT Daytona, which they already lead.
Yep, as a result of winning the first race of the season, they came in to this race with a 3-point edge over the number 44 team in the Michelin Endurance Cup, being based, of course, on the Rolex 24 at Daytona way back in January.
Yes, another lifetime ago. Another lifetime ago. Watching the lap times for Montoya and Nasr now, what, 3.3 seconds apart.
Gosh. And Ricky Taylor, two laps ago I told you the gap from number five to number seven was 18 seconds.
Yeah.
Last time around it was 10, and it's now down to 8.1.
He took 6 seconds the last lap out of Joao Barbosa, by the way. That's not me driving that car around there. That's Joao Barbosa, who knows how to pedal. Now, traffic plays a part here, but my goodness, taking 6 seconds, and the fastest DPI car by some... Actually, I say that he wasn't last time around, because Ryan Briscoe was on a new set of tyres, having just got into the Cadillac of Conyngham and Alta, the Wayne Taylor run car. But he's still taking great chunks of time out of the cars ahead of him, and they both are now, in fact.
Yeah.
So,
but Barbosa's really struggling. I mean, he's falling back now. The deficit to number 55 car was 3.5 seconds and 6.6, now 8.3 just in the last three laps.
Yeah, been out there for 27 laps, so not as far as say Ollie Jarvis. He's been out there for 32 laps, but they're all coming round to what will be a full stint and a top-up of VP Racing fuel and a new set of Michelin tyres. And, of course, those guys, and particularly this is where Ryan Briscoe is going to get his track position back, and this is what they're back timing to. Here comes the number 77 of Ollie Jarvis. Just mentioned him. Completing a 33-lap run in the number 77. He was in just a little bit ahead of the cars around him, are all coming up to 28, 29 laps completed. So the mostly white Idemitsu livery Multimatic Mazda into the pit lane, and Shea's watching this one.
Fuel tires and a drink bottle change for Oliver Jarvis, who stays aboard for a double stint, but they are giving him new Michelin tires. So the lesson has been learned. Tristan Nunez, when he started, did two stints on the same set of Michelin tires when he did his pit stop, getting fuel only. And between that and the damage to the rear wing, as it was at the time, that's what caused the drop-off in time. Well, Oliver Jarvis has a perfectly clean new rear wing that he got the last pit stop. He's now got enough fuel to go back out there for another 42, 43-ish minutes. We'll see how long Ollie can stretch out of this tag.
Hello to Gert Van Kamp, who is working again during an an IMSA race, excuse me. But good, he says that his internet's solid enough to watch the stream. Gert, thank you for tuning in to IMSA Radio and IMSA TV. More racing for you tomorrow with another couple of the challenge races, Lamborghini Super Trofeo, IMSA GT3 Cup Challenge USA for Porsches as well, and of course the Michelin Pilot Challenge, all tomorrow for you from Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta, 98.1 FM around the track and around the world on RS2, IMSA.com and IMSA.TV if you're in an area, a territory that doesn't have network TV coverage, then you can tune in to the IMSA radio audio with uninterrupted streaming pictures. Known that plenty of you across in Europe are doing that at the moment, where it is, what, 6:30 on a Saturday, maybe been out doing other things with the family, settling in for a quiet evening in, and for the last 4 hours worked quite nicely for those of you in the UK. An hour later in Europe, so what's that, 7:30 nearly? And welcome along if you are just joining us. It's been an action-packed opening couple of hours to the race. We're 10 minutes away from the second racing hour being completed. Drama started before the green flag. I'll bring you up to date with that after these pit stops, as the leading three cars, Shea Adam, are in the pits.
That caught me up by surprise. We have Juan Pablo Montoya in the number 6. Dane Cameron did a lot of driving at the start of this one, so Juan's turn is not yet over. But Felipe Nasr into the pit lane in the Whelen Engineering number 31. It's Philippe Albuquerque time, so hello and stand back from the fences a little bit, ladies and gents. In the number 55 Mazda, Ryan Hunter-Reay brings that one in. That's the sole red car, fuel and tires for him as well. Harry Tinknell, again, spent a long time behind the wheel of that car, so Ryan not yet allowed to get out of the car. This means that because of the pit stop cycles, Ricky Taylor in the number 7 is now back up to second. That's just worth saying while all these stops are going on. It was a clean stop for the 6. They're back out and rolling, and behind them goes that number 31 Cadillac followed.
So good set of green flag pit stops there. Montoya back out again. That car still has the fastest lap of the race on a 109.7. How does that compare, Jeremy, to what we've seen here before at Motul Petit Le Mans? Slightly different time of the year, as we have been seeing during our broadcast this week. But 109.7, we've had a couple of 109.8s as well from other DPIs. 109.7 in the great scheme of things here.
The race lap record set last year by Felipe Nasr, 108.869. So about a second. Bit of a second away from that, but still a long, long way to go in this race. And it's out there right now, and pretty huge also. The tyres are certainly taking a bit of a beating.
Yeah, and the temperature's going up as well. Track temperature now 48 Celsius. That is pretty nasty for the Michelin tyres. Was at Spa earlier on this year, last month now, for the ELMS, and we did see 51 degrees Celsius there. I know at Spa it's been a crazy year, 28 in the air, but we've had a lot of sunshine on the track all day today, so that's gone up considerably since the start of the race. Here's the balance of the pit stops from GPI at the front of the field. Cheer, Adam.
Robert Bosa just waiting on fuel at this point. He's already got 4 new Michelins, and man, he's told to go, and immediately he rips out of the pit box. So a good stop by JDC Mustang Sampling.
Number 7 car then leads at the moment. Good luck last time, a 10.4 for Ricky Taylor. Of course, that car came in for its pit stop. It was under caution a couple of laps after the leaders, but I would expect, yes, here he comes right now. Is Ricky Taylor onto pit lane, so he will give up the lead on the 82nd lap. So just two laps led there by the number 7 car. Scratch that, just one led, because the number 5 car led the previous lap before it too was on pit lane.
That looks fairly standard as well, Shea Adam.
Fuel, tires, and maybe a new drinks bottle, maybe a little bit of a wipe of the brow for Ricky Taylor, as he's only halfway done with his hard work so far on this stint. It was a perfect stop by the number 7 crew. Fuel is the last thing that they're waiting on. 28, 29, 30, and go! Perfect by Ricky.
Yeah, and that is the absolute, look up a perfect pit stop in the racing dictionary, and that is it. That could be the illustration. The thing that should define how long you're standing still if you're taking a full tank of fuel is a full tank of fuel, and everything else was done in plenty of time. They knew what they were doing. Everybody had their job, Jeremy, and that's execution. When we talk about executing in the pit, that was it.
Indeed so, and the number 10 car now leads again. Of course, this car is out of sequence with everybody else. The number 10 car came into the pits out of the lead on lap 70. The rest of the round of pit stops has begun on lap 78, so seven laps later by the number 77 car, and then the other guys were all in a couple of laps after that. So kind of different fuel stint strategies on at the moment amongst the leaders.
Yeah, and that again, part of that is being thrown in because of the hope that some of those teams will be ahead at the 3 hour mark for the Michelin Endurance Cup, and so that has thrown a little bit of a spanner in the works in terms of putting the teams off strategy. Those that are just looking directly to the end of the race, do not pass 3 hours, do not collect points for the Michelin Endurance Cup. They are round about 10 laps difference. Ryan Briscoe came in early by, a few less than that. He came in about six laps, but he was already slightly different. So that has stretched it out, yeah. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Just to say, John, before the round of pit stops, before the number 10 car, as you just said there, precipitated this round of pit stops, they're coming in early, looking forward to that 3 hour mark in the race. When it came into the pits, it was leading the number 6 car by 1.5 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, the 4.3 seconds it was back, it was number 31 and number 77, then the number 5 and the 5. The gap between first and second now is 7.9 seconds right. Last time, seconds between the 10 and number 6. That stretched out quite a long way, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And also, the gap from second to third is out to 6 seconds, where it was before that about 4. So, interesting to see how that's panned out.
Yeah, and I'm looking also to see where this bigger difference than I remember has come from. And I've just gone back here, and the number 10 car, even before Ryan's shorter stint, which we think is tactical, was 3 laps shorter on its run than the 6 Acura and the 31 car.
Because they came in right before the caution period.
Ah, that's so right, of course. That actually isn't 3 full laps, well remembered.
Correct.
And then they did the 24 lap stint, and that's where now we've got this slightly bigger gap then between those two that are chasing. So Ryan Briscoe's been out for 15 laps, whereas the other two, of course, are just recently out of the pit. So we're looking at the sharp end of 8 laps, 9 laps difference between those two, and that's all down to that 3 hour mark. Let's see if they've got their sums right, is all I'm going to say. I hope they have for their 6.
I'm sure they will do. Here's this battle for GTLM, especially for second place. Antonio Garcia has pulled out the better part of 10 seconds, and he's pulling away at 3 or 4 tenths of a second a lap on average from this big battle here for second, third, fourth, fifth position in GTLM with the two BMWs and the two Porsche in a train there. And there's a long gap back, of course, to Oliver Gavin, who is on the lead lap, but at the tail end of the lead lap, GTLM, in car number 4.
Well, coming round to another hour of racing to be completed. 4 hours and 2 minutes still to go. Let's do a bit of an hourly update for you, and we'll run through the categories as most of the cars that are going to stop on the schedules that they're on have stopped, certainly at the front of the field. So Ryan Briscoe, on a slightly different strategy, as we've been explaining, is 6.5 seconds at the head of the field in that number 10 Konica Minolta Cadillac. The Acura Team Penske number 6, Juan Montoya behind the wheel, is in second, and he's got about 6.5 6.5 seconds between himself and Albuquerque. Albuquerque's just taking half a second out of him at that time around for the Whelen Engineering number 31. Fourth is the first of the Multimatic Mazdas. He's another 1.5 seconds further back, and he is Ollie Jarvis in the 77. Ryan Hunter Ray's teammate is 7.5 seconds further back, but 9 seconds ahead of Joao Barbosa. Had a bit of a torrid time recently. That number five car, having now picked up the pace with a new set of tyres on that car, was actually over 2 seconds quicker than Hunter Ray last time around. That was reversed earlier on when the tyre situation was slightly different. And making up the top seven DPIs at 35 seconds off the lead and 2 seconds away from sixth place is Ricky Taylor in the number seven. That's the car that had to fight to get back on the lead lap after all the issues. And a spin for the number 74 at turn out of turn 10. It just gets pointing in the right direction. It's Gar Robinson for Riley Motorsports, but he just about got pointing in the right direction without causing anybody any issues. Ricky Taylor, Elio Castroneves it was, who didn't do himself any favours early on with a couple of mistakes, speeding in the pit lane and then blowing through the red light. Gar just getting a bit excitable, by the way, on the right hand pedal. He was under a bit of pressure from that would have been the 14 going through, I think, Mike De Casada. Yes, it was. But I don't think that precipitated the spin. They were side by side the first part of the 10-11 complex, 10A and 10B rather, complex. And it looks like Gar's got away with that without any damage. In LMP2, PR1 Matheson, 8th position overall after early problems for the number 18 Aero Motorsports car. That car has just come out of the pits, apparently. Okay, good. Good news for that. We've still not... Yes, that car has just come out of the pits. We've still not seen the return of the Turner Motorsport BMW number 96 with that braking issue, as reported earlier on. GT Le Mans, Corvette from BMW by 9.5 seconds. That's 3 from 25. McAfee in the 911 Porsche is another 1.5 seconds further back. John Edwards for BMW, 1.2 seconds further back in fourth. That's the 24. Fifth for Earl Bamber, just 3/10 further back in fifth for Porsche. And Ollie Gavant still on the comeback trail after that puncture for the number four car. And finally, last but not least, Brian Sellers leads for Paul Miller Racing and Lamborghini by 6.3 seconds. The 48 has the point in the GTD category from Shinji Mishimi for MSR with Kurt Agajanian, the Acura number 86, in second. Then 3.2 seconds further back, the first of the AVS Lexus, that's the Monte Calvo driven car, Di Casada, is next up, 22 seconds further back. Then Ian James, Heart of Racing, has worked his way up to fifth after being dead last and having a couple of little mini incidents earlier on in the 23. He's 9 seconds further back, and battling behind him is the GRT Grasser Racing team. The number 11 car sits just 2/10 away. That's how they stand. We've just gone over another racing hour. We've got 4 hours to go, and the next hour of racing from Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta starts right now.